Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
I'm Lisa Stone, and you're listening to Parenting Aces. Welcome to season 13 of the Parenting Aces podcast, a proud member of the Tennis Channel Podcast Network. I'm your host, Lisa Stone, and this week we are talking with a father-son duo, Scott and Bodie Campbell, who happen to be from Wisconsin, happen to be longtime Parenting Aces subscribers, premium members, and just all around a great family. I have had the pleasure of doing consults with them through their premium membership. I have had the privilege of exchanging emails as they've gone through a variety of different coaching experiences and now recruiting for Bodie now that he's finishing his junior year of high school. So I think this is going to be a fun one. I want to just say up front, it feels a little infomercially for me because Scott reached out to me actually and said, Lisa, we have loved Parenting Aces. It's been such an integral part of our family's tennis journey. And we'd love to share that with your audience in a podcast. Would you be up for it? And what am I going to say? Of course I'm up for that. I love it. It makes me feel so good to know that I've helped this family and hopefully helped others of you out there. But Scott's purpose really in doing this is, as he told me, he wants you guys to forward this to other families that may not know about Parenting Aces or just may not know the extent of what we offer here and the extent of our content on our website, our podcast, our social media. And he just wants other families to kind of get that extra assistance that they may need to make their own tennis journey a little smoother. So a big thank you to Scott and Bodie and the rest of the Campbell family for being so supportive of Parenting Aces over the years. And I know you guys will join me in wishing Bodie all the success as he's now going through college recruiting. So super exciting time for them. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy my conversation with Scott and Bodie Campbell.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Scott and Bodie Campbell, so great to see you both. Scott, I feel like I see you periodically. Bodie, it's been a minute since I've seen you. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so happy to do this with you guys and so happy for y'all to share your journey with our audience.
Well, thank you. And we're excited to be here as well and talk a little bit about tennis and tennis journey. So appreciate being here.
Yeah.
Somebody's like, yeah, sure. Scott, we're going to start with you. And I want you to just kind of introduce yourself to our audience. Tell us a little bit about your tennis journey, how you got started playing tennis, your other interests, and kind of your family situation now around tennis.
Sure. So I played multiple sports growing up, and my dad was a tennis player. He played in high school, played in college. He actually switched over to squash when he was in college, played out east. But he was eager to get a racket in our hands, among other things, to play sports. So I played tennis. I played other sports growing up. When I was about 15, I specifically started just playing tennis. And so I played at a great high school here in Minnesota and had some success there. And I knew I wanted to play tennis in college. I also knew sort of the level I was at. And I had some academic aspirations, too, that fit more of a smaller liberal arts school. So I figured I was going to end up going into a Division III college. And so I went to DePauw University, not DePaul, but DePauw, the one in Greencastle, Indiana, and had a great tennis experience, had a great college experience. But tennis was one of the central foci for me, for sure. So played with a great group of guys each year. We were competitive at the time. We were a top 15, 20 college team at the time. And so it was the right fit for me, for sure. And so after college, I actually taught tennis for a few years in Rochester, Minnesota. So I came back to Minnesota, and home of the Mayo Clinic, as people probably know. And I taught tennis for just about 3 years. And then I actually went to Mayo Clinic and did some clinical research. And to fast forward the story, I serendipitously ended up in the medical device industry. So currently I'm in medical device and novel cardiovascular medical devices, and run teams of salespeople out of Minnesota across really most of the central US. So that's me in a nutshell. Our family life, I'm married to my lovely wife, Kari, who's for 22 years. She's not a tennis player, but a big fan. And so we have three kiddos. So our oldest is Greta. She's 19 and she's at Texas Christian University as a freshman, not playing tennis, just enjoying being a freshman down there. And Bodhi, who's with us today, who's 17. And then we have as of Sunday, a 14-year-old. So he turns 14. Gus turns 14 here on Sunday. And he's also a tennis player as well. But that's us. That's the Campbells.
Okay. Love it. Bodhi, how about you? When did you first start playing?
He kind of got me into tennis when I was pretty young. I'd say probably 5 or 6. And it just started kind of going out and hitting with him and the family and, you know, getting the basic strokes down and, you know, getting to learn the game. I played a bunch of sports when I was younger, so tennis was just kind of thrown in the mix as one of the other ones. But, and then I started to progress and I really enjoyed it. So, I kept up with it. I think he's kind of been at the driver's seat, I'd say, of my tennis career when I was younger, and still to this day now. So, I played a bunch of sports. Hockey is my main one, obviously, in Minnesota, kind of a basic answer, but, played hockey ever since I was, pretty young. Started to skate at, I don't know, probably around the same time, 5 or 6. And then enjoyed soccer, tried lacrosse for a little bit. And then I kind of stuck with tennis and hockey for a while. And then ended up playing hockey at my high school and played all throughout youth, and then made my varsity team here in Minnesota my sophomore year. So last year, and I still do love the sport. And then I did end up giving it up this year to focus on tennis, which was a tough decision. But a bunch of my friends still play hockey, still have a good relationship with the coaches. But made the call this summer to just focus on tennis and see how far I can take this. So yeah.
And you're toward the end of your junior year of high school now, is that right? And the goal is to play college tennis.
Yep, that's the goal. Still in the hunt now, but I'm really excited.
And before we move on to the next topic, I want to just ask you, Bodhi, how do you feel like playing hockey and lacrosse and soccer have helped you with tennis? Are there skills that you learn through those other sports that translate over?
Absolutely. I think definitely playing hockey at a pretty high level is translated very well, especially like for high school, the team aspect of everything and the camaraderie and the locker rooms and stuff like that. But then as far as like on court, on ice stuff, it's obviously hockey and tennis are kind of opposite sides of the spectrum there, but really physical sport. And I think that that's helped me. I had to, you know, be in the weight room for hockey and be really explosive. And it's a different kind of training. Every time I go down to Todd, we always joke about how I'm in hockey shape and not tennis shape. Cause it's a different kind of shape, but, so it's definitely translated very well. And I think that playing multiple sports, especially for, you know, up until I was 16 years old, actually really did help my tennis, even though I wasn't on court as much as some of the other kids have been. And I mean, quite frankly, still are. I think that it's translated in just so many different areas that I'm really grateful for having that opportunity.
And you're in full-time brick and mortar school?
Yes, full-time in-person school.
Okay.
I love it. I don't know if I'd be able to go online. I've a lot of friends, so I think that's a big part of me. So yeah.
Love that. Okay. So the purpose of this episode is kind of to share your journey and your connection with Parenting Aces with our audience and kind of talk about how Parenting Aces has been part of this journey and help shape the journey, if I can say that. And Scott, I wanted to just ask you, first of all, how did you even find us?
Yeah. Well, I can say that when I realized that the kiddos were starting to get into tennis a bit more, especially Bodie having some early success in his, you know, in that 11, 12 year old range, I'd been removed from this. So like 2 decades removed from really junior competitive tennis. And so it was a bit of a shock to go to a tournament and you know, see how the tournaments are run and the different levels and those sorts of things that I knew enough to know that I didn't know a lot, you know, like I knew I was somewhat dangerous, but I didn't know. And so, you know, just like anyone else who, when you see this gap in your learning and you want to figure out how to fill that gap, you start looking around. And so that's really what I did, Lisa. I started just looking at different podcasts, and I saw this Parenting Aces podcast, and I listened to an episode, and I'm like, it almost hit the nail exactly on the head. So I literally got on the website probably that weekend and signed up to be the premier member. And I distinctly remember the first really interaction with you all was, you had a webinar and you had a really high level coach. I think he was the former coach at Harvard or something like this. This was probably, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. And I sent a note in to the chat saying, when do you think kiddos should specialize in tennis? And so that was one of the first questions that they asked. And the answer came back, oh, you know, they don't really need to specialize much until they're like 9 or 10. And I was like, whoa, you know, and I just remember that answer because I'm like, well, I mean, maybe. And of course, when I started to watch the tennis scene, I recognized that some of these kiddos were just playing tennis. That was their only sport after school. Mm. That's what they did. But I also, you know, as a parent, you know, your kiddos and you're like, I'm not sure that wasn't Greta for sure. She was a dancer first and foremost, like her mom. Bodie loved all these other sports and, you know, Gus was kind of following in Bodie's footsteps a bit. So that's how I got it. I knew enough that I needed to know more, and I really found the podcast, and then it really went from there. And since then I rarely miss a podcast.
I love that. Thank you. And so through Parenting Aces, through our podcasts, you have been introduced to some different coaches, some different ideas of ways to go about this whole journey. Bodie, maybe you can talk a little bit about, you know, the coaching situation that you're currently in there in Minnesota and how you have learned about different coaches that have helped you through your journey and how that kind of all ties back to Parenting Aces.
We have a pretty cool setup here in Minnesota. There's this family, the McCoy family. They run out of well, they did run out of lifetime here of fitness, and now they recently have, like, the last 2 weeks kind of went off and started their own company and their own deal. So I work with them. Wyatt is my main coach. He was from Minnesota, played at one of our local high schools, and then ended up going and playing at Notre Dame for 4 years. And so I kind of got into their, I guess, realm, their field, four or 5 years ago. And I just stuck with it. The group there is kind of the top kids in the Twin Cities area, all kind of flocked to the McCoys. I go there and train every day, and it's pretty great. So my dad started, you know, venturing off and found Parenting Aces, and then eventually heard about Todd Whittem and the program that he runs down in South Florida. And we went down for, I don't know, kind of just a family vacation, not really, you know, tennis wasn't the central part of it. It was like, let's just go drive 2 hours and just try this. He got in touch with Todd and the coaches there, and we drove, and it was just 2 days. We had just 2 days set up there. And I got introduced to that level of training in that field, and it was, I mean, super eye-opening for me, because it's a different field. They're there 6 hours a day training not indoors, they're outside in the South Florida heat, which is a little bit of a wake up, but and I think that going down there periodically, I was like 12 or 13 when I first went down there. And they've been great. They've taken my strokes and my footwork, especially, just up a few notches. And it's been great. And that's why we continue to keep going down there. We've had, multiple visits since I've been 12, to go down and work with Todd and his team. And, it's been pretty great. And then as of, I don't know, about a year now, coming up to a year, my dad got introduced to Danielle McNamara, from Parenting Aces. And, he sent some emails to her, and we connected, her and I, and we hopped on another Zoom call when I was in Florida at Todd, actually, in the hotel room after one of the long days. And we just started talking about tennis and the recruiting process and all that, because that's when I had kind of figured out, like, I want to specialize, and these are my, you know, goals and aspirations to play tennis in college. And we kind of sat down, and I've been using her for a year now, and it's great. I get on, you know, twice a month, once a month, calls with her, email back and forth. And she's been great in my journey, and I'm really thankful for that, because it's I'm in the driver's seat of the recruiting process. And she's a great guide to help me get there. So that's been great. And I know he has probably stuff to say about that too, but, And then I guess as of, I don't know, Seven Shot Tennis, was introduced to my dad, about, I don't know, how long would you say?
You had David Howell on, you know,
I did.
Six, 9 months ago. And
yeah.
Do you want us to talk about that now too?
Sure.
Okay. I consume the majority of the podcast because it's obviously a Parenting Aces. It's a parenting podcast. And then on occasion I will shoot that podcast over to Bodie and to Gus and just say, hey, take a listen to this, or we'll sit around the table and I'll talk about it. Well, when I heard what Dave was doing, I kind of understood it, but I wanted to know a little bit more. So I actually just reached out to him on my own and said, hey, tell me a little more about what you're doing here. And that, his framework for training and the targeting and where your core positioning is, was like such a clear nomenclature for me to understand and for me to translate to the kiddos. I thought that was amazing. And then the fact that he takes a video of a match and analyzes every shot and then categorizes it by the type of shot that it was and where you were on the court, and then literally gives you match statistics like Watson does from, you know, the US Open, you know, or whatever that computer program was just, it was just amazing to me. And we just got to talking and I'm like, this is great. So we have utilized that service really for both kiddos now. We just videoed one of Gus's first matches that he had a chance to look at. But what amazed me, Lisa, were really two things. One, that Parenting Aces continues to bring relevant material to parents like me, who, again, I think I'm probably in that core group of parents that know enough to find you, but know enough that they don't know, you know, exactly everything. So and this was so relevant. The second thing specific to Dave's seven shot is that, like, if you watch a hockey game or Bodie's playing, when he was playing a high school hockey game, you could go and look at, the coaches would have an iPad and they would show you what just happened, you know, like the play before. And they're using that technology to say, oh, you were here and the defenseman was here, you need to go here. We weren't doing that with tennis, but it's like, I can't understand why we're not doing it. Like, I don't understand why every college team is not videoing every match and analyzing it on the bus ride home or the plane ride home with this. Like, it's just, you watch an NFL game and they're watching the video. So, you know, the shameless plug, but I mean, it's because it's so relevant. I think it's great. So that's just, there's no way we would have found Seven Shot without Parenting Aces. Like, I wouldn't know even to go find it. So anyway, that's the take on that.
Yeah.
Can you see that I'm blushing? I'm like, this feels like so infomercial-ish, and I don't mean it to feel that way, but I'm so grateful to you guys for, you know, kind of taking the initiative here and saying, hey, you know, we think it's important for other parents to understand how to utilize the resources on Parenting Aces to help our kids reach their goals. And you know, again, this feels a little weird for me to be like hosting this, but I do feel like it's important for my audience to understand that there really is so much content on between our website and our social media and our podcast. I mean, we've been at this 13 years now, so it's a lot of material. And it makes me sad when people don't utilize it fully, because I feel like some of the stuff that we have is just so incredibly powerful and useful and, you know, can really make a difference in the overall experience of going through this junior tennis thing and this college recruiting thing.
Totally agree. And I feel like tennis is one of those unique sports that doesn't have as much of a central pathway. I mean, if you're an extremely elite junior player, you can go to the USTA, like, you know, Max Ekstedt has from, he's a Minnesota kiddo. You can do that. Or you could, I guess you could get out the Google, the Florida, and see how many tennis, you know, academies are down. You could do that, but there isn't a central place for that. Whereas, you know, and we're from Minnesota too, right? So in Minnesota, it's hockey and then hockey and then hockey. And so there's a lot of resources for hockey players. You know, you can play all 13 months here. And there's all kinds of resources, but there isn't that much for tennis. And granted, the McCoys have been amazing, and it's great. And, you know, because we have the smaller community, all the kiddos gravitate to one place. So that's helpful. But when it comes to just knowing more about how this journey goes, especially if you have a kiddo that wants to go from playing their high school team, or playing the L4s and maybe some L3s, to really going to L2s and L1s and trying to make something of this and play at a collegiate at a high level, you need something like this. So when I reached out to you, I understand that commentary about an infomercial, but if you were to say, boy, what would be the goal of this? I would be that Parenting Aces listeners would forward this to those who aren't Parenting Aces listeners so that they can have access, they can understand a journey that is, you know, to your point, is part of what we're doing here, that this podcast and the knowledge that we get. So that's my take.
I love that. Bodhi, talk a little bit about your relationship with your parents and specifically with your dad, because he's the tennis parent in the family. And you know, what your hopes are. I know you want to play in college, and yeah, my guess is beyond college, it's going to be a similar pathway to your dad. Maybe you'll teach, maybe you'll get a regular job that has nothing to do with tennis, or maybe you'll work in the tennis industry, but hopefully tennis will continue to be part of who you are and what you do and as an adult. But is there, I don't know. I guess my question is, the relationship between the player and the parent, in my opinion, is the most important piece of this from the parent side, right? And I say this in the podcast all the time, like, as the parent, your only goal is to have a great relationship with your kid at the end of this journey. Mm-hmm. Everything else is gravy. The player has different goals. The coach has different goals. So in terms of your relationship with mainly your dad, have you seen kind of a development in that relationship? Has anything changed? Have y'all gone, you know, kind of up and down, or have things just always been good and close and easy?
Yeah. That's a great question. I think tennis is one of those sports that sometimes I see it, especially at the high levels of hockey here too, the parent and kid relationship is not always the best or the most healthy, but yeah. I wouldn't have another way. They're great. And my dad's obviously growing up in the tennis area. He knows a lot, and I think we've been pretty smooth the whole way through. There's times at practice when he gets on me when we're out in the mornings hitting and stuff. But I think parents need to take, I guess, a page out of, I mean, I'm kind of shouting about here, but my dad's book of just like, when I go to other tournaments and see, you know, parents, you know, not like like yelling at their kids or super strict. And I think that, you know, some people that works, and I just know for me as a player and as a son, that wouldn't work very well. So I think that it's been smooth. Obviously there's ups and downs here and there. But I think that it's been great. And my mom, who's not here with us, but she's been great too. He always says spectator, but there's been tournaments where my dad hasn't been able to be there, and I split sets and I got to go talk to my mom about what to do here. I'm like, how do I beat this guy? She's like, you know, just keep drinking your water and positive mindset. And that's,
go Kari, love it.
That's been great too. So, I think the balance there is awesome. And I couldn't be more thrilled to call them my parents, especially at an individual sport like this, where they're, you know, setting up your tournament schedule and, like training schedules and stuff. And I think that other sports like hockey, once you make the team, that's all done for you. So I think that as a sport and an individual sport like this, the parents are just a super, super crucial part, to their kids, I guess, trajectory and journey. And I mean, I think that they've done a great job. So yeah.
That's awesome to hear. I love that. You have to be very proud, Scott. That's a yeah. Great endorsement.
Yeah. There's, they're overwhelmingly very positive, I would say, relationship that we have. And, you know, a lot of it is because of who he is as a person. He's just, he's got this, he's extremely competitive, but he also has this kind of this humble aspect of him. Like, I mean, we played hockey. He was, you know, he's almost always named the captain because he's so competitive. He works so hard, but he also cares about the kiddos, you know? And then he has this resilience piece of him as well that actually my dad, who's a former physician and has studied some of this stuff, it helped ingrain in the kiddos of all things during COVID, but you know, this concept of resilience. And so Bodhi has that as well, where after a match, you know, we can be pretty bummed out, but 10 minutes later, you know, the world's still moving. And I think that's, you know, that's important. And so, you know, my role as the parent, with a little bit of coaching, is to really support him in what he wants to do and then help him understand the options. Like the big question we had last summer was, do you want to continue to play hockey? And if you do, great. We just need to calibrate what may be for tennis, you know, but if you want to try to do something up here with tennis, the reality is that it's going to be really hard to balance. And so, you know, that's a conversation that we had to navigate through, and ultimately he's the one who has to say yes or no. And so we've been able to have that relationship that way.
Well, I mean, you've heard me on this podcast so many times talk about the importance of good communication and open communication between the parent and the player, and checking in with your kid, you know, on a regular basis to make sure that what they said they wanted 6 months ago is still what they want, and that they're still willing to put the work in to achieve those goals. And, you know, and if things have changed, okay, what does that look like? And what do we need to tweak here? Or, you know, are you done with tennis altogether? Do you need to take a break? And what does that look like? And how do we navigate through that period of time? So I think, you know, it's very clear that you guys are doing a great job keeping the conversations going and understanding, you know, Bodhi first, you understanding what it is you want from tennis, and then clearly communicating that to your parents and your coaches so that you can make that happen. I think it's so interesting that you've continued to play hockey up until just now, because I think that's pretty rare. And I know from talking to your dad and talking to Todd Whittem that, you know, your tennis level is pretty darn high and you should have some great opportunities in college. What are you thinking? Division one, division two, division three? What are you thinking?
The goal right now is division one. So Danielle's been doing a great job of helping out, kind of help me figure out what I want and what I'm looking for. But I think ultimately the goal of quitting hockey and hanging up the skates was to be able to play college tennis, and in mind was a D1 level. So that's my goal, and that's what I'm working for now. So and I think that every time I never really question it if I should have stayed with hockey or not. But I do like look back, and I really appreciate that I did play that extra year and the, I guess, extra few years since I was, you know, 12 or whatever, because it's been a big part of my life. And I, like I said earlier, I've grown a lot from playing hockey and learned a lot, and it's translated well. So but ultimately the goal of giving it up was to try and play D1 tennis. So that's what we're trying to do.
And I'm sure that you know this, but you are at a level with both hockey and tennis that those are sports that you're going to continue to be able to play at a high level as an adult. You're going to always be the guy that people want on their team, whether it's hockey or tennis, right? And I think that's a pretty important skill to have and a pretty important choice to have as you move out of junior athletics into college and then into adulthood.
Mm-hmm. I'd say that's true. I would say too that, you know, if tennis was so individual in college, I don't know if I've ever worded this to you, but I'm not sure it would have as much gravitas in his decision making. I don't know that it would be because he's just a team sport oriented kiddo. I think he went to Big Tens with my wife a year or two ago, and that's where I think a light bulb came on. You're like, whoa, this is really different than playing an L3 in St. Paul, Minnesota, when you're in, you know, Ohio State's playing Michigan and you can't hear yourself think because it's so loud. And the teams are so fired up for Jet. We were down in Florida last week and we saw Oklahoma play UCF at the national campus. And you're just like, this is what a great environment. And so I would say that that's going to be a really important part of Bodie's decision, and is finding that fit with team and coach and right level and all of that to have that fullest experience. But if that wasn't there, I don't know.
Yeah. I think since playing hockey and soccer and all the other sports, they're all team sports. So I think that's been such a big part of my childhood. And the only time I really get that right now is during the high school season, which just started basically this week. So, and I think that's great. Playing with my friends and playing for my school, which is awesome. But once I went to Big Tens and drove down to Madison with my mom and kind of saw the level and the camaraderie of the teams, I was like, this is different. And this is what I'd never seen that. Like, I didn't know what college tennis was like. I imagined it was more of like a professional, quiet in between points. And it could not be more opposite, which I love. And that's driving me to try and play at the highest level I can, because that's the team sense is going to be a big part of my decision and how I go forth with tennis. So,
I'll tell you all a funny story. I think, I don't know if I've shared this on the podcast before, but when my son was recruiting, he wanted to see where every line on the team would play. Like, if the courts weren't 1 through 6 in a row, you know, a lot of schools, they'll have 3 courts and then 3 other courts. He wanted to see where they were, because he wanted to make sure whatever court he was on, there were going to be seats for people to sit there and cheer for him while he played. Like, that was really important to him. And he didn't want to be, you know, relegated to some outer court with no seating and where people would have to, you know, bring a folding chair or whatever. He wanted stands and, you know, places for people to sit and cheer. So I totally get that. Like, you know, it's a team sport at the collegiate level, and you need to have fans there. You need to have people cheering for you and encouraging you. So that's super cool. That's super cool. I want to kind of backtrack a little bit and kind of play a what if scenario. If you guys had not found Parenting Aces all those years ago, 5 years ago now, I guess, how do you think this journey would have looked different, if it would have looked different?
I would say, first of all, I would say it would have looked different. And it's easy to say, because so much of this journey has had Parenting Aces influence. So I know without that, it would look different. And the question is how it would look different. The first response I would say is that it would be our world would be more localized. I think we probably would have just leaned on what was happening in our geography in terms of how it should be or how it would be with tennis and tennis coaching and the resources that would have been available up here in Minnesota, which is probably the equivalent of trying to get good hockey resources in Arizona, right? I mean, it's just different. It's just different. So I think that'd be one piece. It would be different. And, you know, to my knowledge, Lisa, there's not a Parenting Aces 2 out there or a Parenting Aces 3. I don't think there's a lot. So there isn't another person that has invested in much in people like me as you have. So I think it would have been very different. It would have been more local and just asking the other parents who are sitting there drinking coffee during the second round of matches, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? I mean, I think that's how it would be different to me.
What about for you, Bodie? Like, if, you know, if your dad hadn't been listening to the podcast and found these opportunities for you, do you think you would still be playing, or do you think you'd be playing at this level?
I don't think I would be at this level that I'm at now, because so much of what we've, or what he's gotten and what I've gotten out of Parenting Aces has been, the ability to raise my level and to, I guess, like he said, not delocalize, but to expand and get out and see what, you know, the top kids in the country have been doing and what are doing. And I don't think that in Minnesota, like he said, that's not really the way that it's run here.
Yeah.
So as far as level of tennis, I'm super grateful that ultimately he ended up finding Parenting Aces, because it's been such a big part of my tennis journey and our journey together.
Well, I would say it struck me while he was talking, and that a little bit of another plug for Todd, because Todd Whittem is someone that we work with closely. But the first time we went down to Todd, it was all experiential and exploring, like what would it be like to hit at this place that we've heard about? And there was a validation moment there too, or a validation period, where after hitting for a couple of days, I just asked, you see kiddos come in and out of your program all the time. Like, what are we doing here? Is Bodie, you know, middle of the road? Is he the best player you've ever seen? Is he, you know, got a lot of work to do? Where are we at? And they validated that there was a lot there, that if he wanted to, again, invest and train and all those sorts of things, that he could play at a higher level. And so I don't know how I would have done that otherwise, you know, and that was a inflection point. And, you know, so much so that I think you and I and Todd have been on calls with Bodie to talk about, you know, what is the next step here? I mean, you have to go through this. You have to go through this journey, in my mind, with, you know, surrounding people around you that know more than you do. You know, yeah. The best CEOs surround themselves with people that are quote unquote smarter than them, and especially in specific areas like finance and marketing and sales and whatever. And that's the same thing we're doing here. We just want to bring resources together that around Bodie and really all our kiddos, but specifically Bodie in this case, that know something more than about something more than we do. And then, you know, assimilate. Doesn't mean we always just run to that thing. You know, yeah. we've tried some things and they haven't worked out as well. And we've done, you know, it's not been a perfect journey, but that's the way, I would articulate that. Mm.
What have I not asked you that we need to discuss today?
Wow. What have you not asked us? I think this might be a bit of a reiteration, but I think it's just a validation of what this forum, what this media creation that you have is capable of doing. And we're just one family, and we're a microcosm of what's happening out there. But I would say, you know, to those who are listening, send this off to the five friends that also have kiddos that are Bodie's age, or frankly, probably younger, and get them to at least listen to a podcast or two and see what they think. And if it works for them, great. If it doesn't, that's fine too. But to try to go through this journey without the resources is just pretty doggone tough, I think, especially to do it and try to do it well. So,
Bodie, yeah. I want to ask, I have a question for you, actually. Mm-hmm. I was thinking of as your dad was talking. What do you want out of your last year of junior tennis?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I've thought about this a little bit. Obviously 17 now. I have, you know, one, this is kind of the summer as far as tennis recruiting goes to, you know, get your name and get your, all, you know, your UTR where you want it and your results. And I think that, getting, I guess, just the most I can out of it as far as experience goes, like this summer is going to be great. You know, traveling for tournaments and all of that, and just the experiences and stuff I learned there. And then also ultimately committing to a school that I love and that I'll have the next 4 or so years at. So I think that that's the goal right now, is to try and, you know, keep progressing as a tennis player and as a person to get to that level. So,
can I add one for you?
Go ahead.
That you're part of this summer, I think, and this last year with your doubles partner has been pretty cool. And the goals that you all have.
That's important. Back in like 14s and 16s, especially in Minnesota, everyone, you know, there's someone you pair up with for doubles, you know, quite often, but, as of recently in the past, you know, year, one of my friends from a local high school here that is, you know, now one of the top juniors in Minnesota, good friend of mine, we paired up Aaron Badoon, and his, and we've been playing doubles together for the past, you know, year, and had, you know, great results. And I think that that's, you know, a part of the game that I haven't, you know, it's always been singles and getting that, you know, part of things. But I think that playing doubles with him, especially recently, it's been awesome. And getting, you know, that relationship with someone in such an individual sport, is really important. And I wouldn't have it any other way. It's been awesome. And turns out we're a pretty good doubles team. So it's, that helps too, but,
bonus. Yeah. That's great. I love hearing that. Scott, I was going to ask you, like, what you think life is going to be like once Bodie goes off to college, and then, like, realize, well, you've got Gus coming up right behind him. So things probably won't change that much tennis-wise for you guys, assuming that Gus ends up on the same kind of trajectory that Bodie's been on. But have you thought about what life is going to be like when Bodie's junior tennis is finished and he's off at college, and, you know, what's next for you as the tennis parent?
Yeah. Well, the rumor has it that the kids leave and the
nest. Really, and so, sad. It's,
know,
really,
yeah,
sad.
So we're walking through that with Greta, who's down in Texas right now. And it's actually just when a kiddo's ready to go and you just know they are, it's actually one of the neatest feelings that we've had as a parent. And so I feel like that with Greta, and I can only imagine we'll feel the same with Bodie. Part of your, I think your question is that there'll be a big void in terms of like the time that he and I work and the time that we invest in trying to figure out how to get to an L2 or schedule this week's training, or, you know, when are we going to go down to Florida again? So that'll be real. And I think it'll just be something that I'll have to, you know, to walk through, and I got a great family support system. But you know, if he plays college tennis and he goes to a school that has, you know, play site or something like that, we'll be able to watch the matches, because unfortunately, Minnesota doesn't have D1 tennis, right? So the University of Minnesota's tennis team went away a few years ago. So if he wants to play any sort of D1, it's not going to be in Minnesota, and we recognize that. But that'll be different. And then Gus will be here with us just by himself for a few years. And, you know, he's in that stage of still figuring out, does he really want to commit a lot to sports? And if he does, which one? And he's, you know, he's a third, and he's awesome. He's one of the funniest kids you've ever met, but that's not the purpose of this podcast. I think that'll be a part of it. I've watched some of our friends who've had their kiddos go to play at Wisconsin, and, you know, they just Fridays and Sundays, they get in front of their computer and they watch the matches. That's what they do. And so that hopefully will be something that we do. And if he's close enough to come and cheer in the stands, we'll do it.
I love that. Yeah. I hope you'll get the chance to do that. That my son's college days were the most fun I had as a tennis parent, because I knew college was the end of the line. Like, he had no pro aspirations. So there was nothing that was going to happen next that was predicated on what happened right now. And so we could just enjoy the moment of it, right? And enjoy just watching him out there doing this thing that he was really good at, and, you know, that up to a point brought him joy. It ceased to bring him joy at some point, but until it didn't, it was really fun to watch. And there was kind of no stress around it, you know, unlike junior tournaments where it's like, ooh, you know, got to get to a certain place in the draw or else you're not going to be able to jump to that next level of tournament. And there's a lot of pressure around that.
There's no doubt there is. And, you know, one of the themes that I think your podcast does well with, especially with some of the folks that you've interviewed, is to continue to talk about the journey and the process. And you know, you either innately love the journey and the process, or if you don't, you probably should figure out what fills your bucket in that area, because if it's all about results, that's a really tough way to go. You know, and I think that especially when you're trying to do something as crazy and as hard as play a Division I sport where, you know, 1 in 4 kids are an American, you know, like there's just, yeah, at least for boys, I mean, for men, it's really, really hard. So if you don't like the process, if you don't like the journey, if you don't have a good support system, I think it could be tough. But and your podcasts, I think, reflect that's an important piece of this. So we appreciate you.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you guys. Bodhi, I want to ask you, how do you avoid focusing on results? How do you keep your head focused on this is a journey? How I do today is only one little blip and we got to keep moving forward.
Yeah. I think partly from constant reminders from my dad. He's always saying after turns, he's like, it's just another, if you do well, great. If you don't, you know, it is what it is, but it's just another stop on the path to, you know, ultimately college tennis. So I think that, just constant reminders from him, and then me reminding myself that's what I'm doing. And that's why I commit my time and energy and effort into this sport. And I think that's been, it's such a great thing to have in the back of your mind when you're playing, cause you're like, it's a little bit of a weight lifted off your shoulders where, you know, you're out there and you're just like, I'm out there to win, but you know, it's not the end of the world when if you lose a match. But I think that's an important thing for kids in such an individual sport like this, that, you know, there's more opportunities and it's a journey. And I think that he's done a great job of that. Probably in part because of Parenting Aces and what he's gotten from this, but,
I would say we've learned also we have a finite amount to invest in this whole journey. I mean, if you want to get a little financial here, and so much of it can tend to be just on the training and the coaching and then the flying to here and there and all of that. We've chosen, you know, for the number of hours he's on the court, we've tried to balance it with working with someone who's a kind of a mental performance coach. And he did this when we started doing it, when he was playing hockey as well. And it was probably as helpful for hockey as anything, but focusing on the mental side of tennis is like, that should be you, that should be a much larger percentage of time training than I think it is these days.
Yeah.
You know, because then they can build up resilience and you can learn how to play your best in those moments. And you also can realize that if you lose that third set tiebreaker, yeah, it's a bummer, but you know, Chick-fil-A is still open in a half an hour and you can go get, you know,
lunch. Unless it's Sunday.
Oh, you're right. Unless it's Sunday. Good catch. So I just, you know, cause you're just, there's every weekend there's a tournament and every tournament's going to have one winner, you know.
Yeah.
Those are pretty cliche statements, but they're true.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
And so you've got to, in this sport, you got to have that. And because it's individual, you know, you're not going in the locker room between periods and figuring stuff out. So you got to really flex that brain muscle is what I would say.
Yeah.
Kind of adding to that. the, just from the player's perspective, I started working with my mental coach for, like you said, for hockey. And my coach works with all kinds of athletes. And so during my hockey season, I was, you know, I would sit there in the locker room before my matches and close my eyes and visualize, and all my buddies are next to me like, what are you doing? Like, we're going out there in 5 minutes. And I'm like, yeah, I know, I'm just, you know, but I think that that's been a big part of my journey, because without that, it would be a lot of stress. So, you know, I quit a sport that I love and focused my time and, you know, resources and effort into this. And if I don't get the results I want, you know, then it's all for nothing, and stuff can start going through your head. And I think that when you're out there playing, again, cliche to say, but it's just you and your opponent. And that's all that it really is. So I think that, the mental part of it has gotten big, and obviously still work to do, can always get better in that area. But, it's a really big part of a individual sport like tennis is,
yeah,
the mental side of it is just, I think it's overlooked, and it should be looked at more closely. But yeah.
I want to just one last question and then we'll wrap this up, I promise. What does your post loss dance look like between the two of you? Like, if you lose a match at a tournament, are you having a conversation right away? Are you, Bodhi, taking some time to yourself? Scott, what's going through your head? How do y'all kind of navigate that? When you win a match, like, whatever, that's so easy, you know? But when you lose a match, that parent-child interaction can make or break the rest of the tournament experience, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I can start this one off, but there's not really a worse feeling than getting off the court after a loss. But when you're, I think the way that we've kind of done it is he lets me control, you know, the conversation if there is one. Like, if I come off the court and I'm willing to talk, then I'll kind of just open up to him. And a lot of times it's just me ranting about what I could have done to win that match. But, I think that's it's a super important part. And I see it all over junior tennis of, you know, a kid getting off the court and the parent goes nuts, like, and the kid's still, you know, just bawling. They're like, I just lost this match. And, I think that it's a super important part of our relationship, as the parent and the player. And yeah, I think it's great that, you know, you let the kid decide. Sometimes I'm, you know, if it's a local tournament and I've played the kid 20 times before and we're about 50-50 and I lose one, then it's kind of a reoccurring, I guess, conversation about, you know, how it goes. But I think the biggest thing is he's always talking to me about how it's about the journey, and this isn't the final destination. So you lose a match, say it's like second round of main draw, like, you're back at it tomorrow, either in dubs or you got, you know, consolation, or, you know what I mean? So I think that's always a big part, is reminding myself that it's not the end of the world. And obviously that doesn't take away from the fact that you lose and it sucks and it doesn't feel good at all, but it's, it's still, it's just it's a really important part. And I guess that's kind of my take on it.
Yeah.
So for the two of you, Bodhi, you kind of set the tone, and and Scott, you take your signals from Bodhi about, I need to zip it, or he wants to talk about this, we'll talk about it. And you just kind of let him guide that.
Yeah, for sure. You know, there's the immediate post-match is, you really, on a loss, you're not probably talking a ton. You know, you're just recognizing that, hey, let's go get some food. And there's just a lot, you know, you come off of a 2 hour match, 2.5 hour match or whatever. You're pretty revved up, you know, in all, or, you know, sorts of, you know, ways, mental and physically tired and all that. But, you know, what we will do at almost always at some point in time is just come back to it. And some, not all the time we do. I mean, but if there's a match where we're like, well, there's some learnings here, we'll do it. You know, he's got an ability to, we've got a blank sheet he can do a reflection on, you know, and he writes down some stuff and we'll talk about it. Or I will tell you that if it's a video that we have, and sent to Dave Howell, we will get that back. And we've even been on the phone with Dave and talked about certain parts of the match, not just like the target to this spot, but what was going on at 6-6-3-3, you know, in the tiebreaker. And so we do that, but in all that's in a real constructive way. I mean, I'm not sure a lot comes, you know, there's not a lot of magical moments that Nadal got, you know, 20 seconds after he lost his 14th match, you know, and it didn't change, alter his how many, you know, majors he won. So I think the best thing is, at least we figured out for us, is to, we'll talk about it, but you know, if he wants to talk about it now, great. We'll talk about it tonight, 2 days from now, maybe 2 weeks from now with Dave. So
yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much for doing this. I, again, am so grateful to y'all for your support over the years. Bodhi, I'm super excited to see where you wind up playing your college tennis. Can't wait to follow your college career too. And you'll have to check back in with us and share that experience too. But thank you so much. I really appreciate y'all.
Thank you. Thanks, Lisa. And good luck with everything here this spring. We'll keep her posted.
Yep. Sounds good. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. And to my audience, thank you so much for tuning in. We will catch you next time on Parenting Aces.
I'm Lisa Stone, and you've been listening to the Parenting Aces podcast, for tennis parents by a tennis parent. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to us and write a review on iTunes. For more information on navigating the junior and college tennis journey, please visit us online at parentingaces.com. Thanks for tuning in and sharing us with your tennis community.